The following program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. At Whole Foods Market, we offer premium products without premium prices. Our everyday value items are free of artificial preservatives, colors, flavors, sweeteners, and hydrogenated fats. Priced competitively to average supermarket prices, the 365 Everyday Value brand offers food that meets our strict quality standards. Compare our peanut butter, canned beans, and cereals to the other guys. You'll see what we're talking about. Visit one of our six Manhattan stores in Tribeca, Bowery, Union Square, Chelsea, Columbus Circle, or the Upper West Side. Open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. For more information, visit www.wholefoodsmarket.com.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Feels so good to be back.
Woo!
That was just Get Down.
Get Down Method.
Get Down Method. Proper Villains remix. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm half your host, Terry Diabolic. A finger on the pulse. We have a great show today. We have Leslie from the Hatton Cocktail Classic and Mitchell from James Beard Foundation. Let me just say and take a moment to send a shout out to my brother, who is doing well and fully recovered. Out in Palm Springs. Gave us a scare there, buddy. But we love you, and we're glad you're back. And I am happy and thankful for all the friends and family and love and support that got sent his way. So, enough about that. But yes, we are very excited. It's a big week in New York for food and events and things like that. And James Beard Awards are tonight. And following on the heels of that is one of my favorite events and going-ons and Manhattan Cocktail Classic, and we have the director and founder, Leslie Townsend. Leslie, welcome back to Snacky Tunes.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Is this your third time?
This is our second official festival. Our
third, if you're counting the two-day preview we did in 2009.
Oh, see, I was talking about you as a guest on Snacky Tunes.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is. But yes, of course, we're here to talk about something other than that. Yes. But yes, because I remember the preview gala.
Yes.
Which I went to. I missed last year's because we were gallivanting somewhere.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. But so for all of the people out there who have not been lucky enough to experience Manhattan Cocktail Classic, what is it? Where is it? When is it? What are the details?
Right. So the Manhattan Cocktail Classic is an annual 5-day festival that takes place all over New York City. Everything and anything to do with cocktails, cocktail events, cocktail seminars, cocktail parties, lunches, brunches, dinners, cruises, rooftop soirees, dances, you name it.
Dress acquired?
For some.
For some.
So we have about 80 events that take place over the course of the 5 days. It runs Friday, May 13th through Tuesday, May 17th. And it's going to be a really fun time.
And one of the most fun time is the big gala.
Right.
Because I'm looking at the list of events and most of them are sold out.
Well, I would say about half are sold
out. Half are sold out. So anyway, so the big gala, public library.
Right. So this is the event
This is the event. I mean, this is
the event.
This is in my... In my idea, this is like the stepping out culinary event of the springtime.
I don't know if we can be the stepping out culinary event, but definitely the stepping out cocktail event.
Fine. Cocktail.
But yes, the big opening night gala at the New York Public Library has really become an entity all on its own. It's thousands of people, about 40,000 cocktails. And we use real glassware because we feel that that's important, which means that we've actually rented the entire tri-state inventory of glassware from Party Rentals. We take over the entire building, which is kind of amazing. I don't know that the New York Public Library has ever let anyone else take over the entire building.
Even when they were filming Ghostbusters?
They might have done that for Ghostbusters.
Maybe for Ghostbusters.
But it's just generally 4 floors of wackiness around every corner. You know, we have live music, we have food, we have crazy performance artists.
Oh, is that band that amazing, the Midnight? Is it the old time, like 1940s?
I'm not disclosing anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have to keep people on their toes. I mean, you know, if we did exactly what we did last year, you know, it wouldn't be any surprise. So yeah, we've changed it up. None of the same bands that were there last year will be there this year, but they're all fabulous.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the what. So why? I mean, cocktails have become so exciting and have definitely dipped out of like the shadowy nebulous of bars into something that's now, you know, people will pay $12 or $14 for a cocktail.
Yeah.
So the celebration is there, but why start this? Why did you feel that you felt the need that these really need to be celebrated for a whole weekend?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the short answer is that, you know, we're in New York City. New York City has a festival for everything under the sun. Except it didn't seem to have any cocktail festivals, despite the fact that this is really, you know, the epicenter of the country, if not the world, for this, you know, fabulous rebirth of cocktails. So it just seemed like this was a big void that needed to be filled, and I decided to be the person that filled it. But in terms of...
let's go back to... So that's the why.
Sure.
So how? Like, how does that go from... Because, you know, you were at the Astor Center, you've been working in spirits, you've been around booze for a while, but how do you go from, I think we should do an entire weekend and get all the top players in cocktails from across the country and the city involved into making it happen in 2 years?
Yeah. You know, as we alluded to before, we did a 2-day preview in 2009 before...
Yes.
You know, heading out of the gates with the full 5-day festival, which I think was a very smart idea, to do something sort of half the scale before, you know, rolling out the full 5 days, 75 events. How to do it? I mean, you know, it obviously getting the word out to, you know, all the key bartenders and top mixologists and key players in the industry, that part actually wasn't the hard part, you know. I wrangled this really amazing group of founding advisory board members, you know, all the really big luminaries in the cocktail industry, you know, Dale DeGroff, Dave Wondrich, mm-hmm. Audrey Saunders, mm-hmm. Alan Katz, you know, all of the bigwigs who, you know, really put their stamp of approval on this festival. And that in and of itself just open many, many, many doors in terms of, you know, getting it on the getting it on the radar of all the important people. But honestly, the biggest difficulty is just in putting together all the dollars that are needed to make this festival happen. It's a hugely expensive enterprise, and it's obviously all funded through sponsorship dollars, in addition to ticket sales. But
mostly sponsor. I mean,
yeah,
ticket sales. For those who are out there who are wondering about food and drink events, money is not made through ticket sales. In case anyone's out there wondering, it is through sponsorship.
Yeah.
And I take all the booze is donated.
Oh yeah, and then a lot of sponsorship dollars on top of that.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean it's 5 days. It's, you know, I won't go into numbers, but there are many, many zeros that go into producing this, and it's all, you know, it's working with all the marketing departments from all of the, you know, we have 150 I think brand sponsors, liquor brand sponsors involved in the festival, so yeah, it's, you know, putting it all together and then making it all happen.
It's also as someone who works in events as well, to have all the liquor sit side by side, especially since some of them compete as well, to all come together for one event is also, that says a lot about your event.
Well, I think that was something that was, you know, it was obvious from the beginning that in order to make this something that would really resonate with, you know, a very savvy New York audience, it couldn't be just a, you know, it couldn't be any one brand or any one portfolio. You know, this had to be inclusive of the whole industry, from tiny mom and pop brands that are making moonshine off the back of a truck to, you know, the giant multi-billion-dollar international corporations that, you know, are being ordered by name in every bar across America. You know, we needed to have both. And I felt very strongly that they all needed to be represented equally, which is something that I think is kind of unique about our festival, that you'll see, you know, side by side, really tiny brands right next to the really big brands, and they're being showcased in the same light and given really equal opportunity to showcase their awesome products and their awesome cocktails. That's something that we're really proud of.
That's great. And we're gonna take a quick break, we're gonna play a song, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about how people can experience this and the events that are coming up. Darren Bresnitz is my real name, but my actual DJ name is Terry Diabolik. For Finger on the Pulse, we have a song from the Naked and the Famous. You're listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
We'll be right back.
Oh, man. The Naked and Famous, all of this. Passive Me, Aggressive You is the album. Came out last year, slept on it, love it. Thank you, Hype Machine. We are in studio today with the wonderful and lovely Leslie Townsend from Manhattan Cocktail Classic, talking about the, can we say defining cocktail event in America? I mean, I know New Orleans does their thing, but this is New York City. And when you can set an event against the backdrop of the city, it just takes on a whole different aura.
Well, I would certainly agree, but then again, I'm a snobby New Yorker, so
of course,
we think it's the center of the world,
isn't it?
Well, I mean, last I checked.
So some of the things are sold out.
Yeah,
but there's still a lot of great things available.
Yes.
Let's talk about the most crazy one event that's happening, even if it's sold out, and then we'll talk about what people can still get tickets for.
Okay. Well, believe it or not, the gala is actually not sold out. We initially sold out all of our tickets, and then I won't bore you with the details. We got approved by the fire marshals for a few more people. So we put some more up for sale recently. And so there are, in fact, still tickets available for the opening night gala at the New York Public Library. So awesome. If you go to any one thing, that's the thing to go to. It's $150, but it is...
Is there food again this year?
There is food. There for anyone who went last year, there will be more food than there was last year.
I heard it got a little...
Yeah. Last year was a little nutso. It was the first time that we had attempted this feat of taking over the entire building.
Yeah.
And let's just say that there's some logistical challenges when you're doing an event on four stories of a building that is not really intended for cocktail parties.
No.
It's intended for reading.
Yes.
So anyway, but we figured all that out. So this year, much more awesome food. That said, no one should ever show up to a cocktail party with an empty stomach. That's just a disaster waiting to happen.
That's Bush League.
Yeah.
That is your first rodeo if you do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the insane. That's got tickets.
Right.
You also have this crazy thing at the Box, the Campari party on Sunday night.
Oh, which unfortunately is sold out. It's this amazing party with Padma Lakshmi as the muse for the cocktails for the evening.
You know, she's... I don't know. When's the last time you went to the Box?
A long time ago.
Yeah. She seems surprisingly fitting to be a muse inside the... I don't know what it is about her.
She can be my muse any day.
Yes.
She's just freaking stunning.
Is she bringing the kid, the baby?
You know, it's not the most kid-friendly festival.
Yeah, I gotta say, though, at the Box... host with a baby fits right in.
Yeah. Well.
But yes, all these events are 21. Are all the events 21 plus?
Yes. Actually, one of my friends who just had a newborn baby asked me the other day which the most child-friendly events were, and I felt so pained to say, you know, none. it's a giant boozy cocktail festival.
Even the panels?
Yeah, unfortunately, all of the events are 21 plus.
Totally got it. I understand. So, I want to go this weekend. Through Tuesday, which is a marathon of just inviting, if you will.
Yeah.
What can I go to? What's exciting? What's still on sale?
All right. Well, just some of my highlights. Don Q is throwing a crazy, awesome 80s party on
awesome.
Saturday night. You know, who doesn't love a good 80s party? And the Don Q guys are awesome. It's also, it's being co-hosted by Maxim Magazine, who, you know, never throw a party without throwing in a fleet of their leggy models.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting. Let's see. We also have a Mad Men party, which is happening on the rooftop of the new Ogilvy and Mather building, which is just going to be super
swank. Is it just straight whiskey?
No, it's not. It's not just straight whiskey. They're doing all, you know, Mad Men themed cocktails.
Of course. Is there going to be the Sal and the Don Draper?
I don't actually know. I know that they were trying to get some surprise guest appearances, but I don't think they've disclosed that yet. So there's still tickets for that.
I mean, to have a highball with Don Draper is probably...
That would be my personal
fancy. Or Betty, whatever. You know, whatever. Yeah. Any of those groups. Okay, so what else we got?
What else? Let's see. We have the Sustainable Olympics happening at the James Hotel with 360 Vodka. You know, they're sustainably produced vodka, and they're doing a whole interactive Olympics, which I just, you know, A for creativity.
Whoa. Like... Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweat it out. Repeat,
yeah,
something like that. Right.
I don't think it's too physically taxing, but no doubt it'll be a fun time.
Probably like shaking cocktails and who can do it the fast, or maybe a really nice game of flip cup or something.
Gotta love Flip Cup.
Yes.
Then we have, of course, our whole seminar series that takes place at Astor Center.
Of course.
You know, if you want to sort of, you know, take a break from the crazy raucous partying and do a little bit more focused education, we have 30 fantastic seminars scheduled during the day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Just to name a couple, we have A Drop of the Hard Stuff with Philip Duff and Sean Muldoon, who are two just absolutely fantastic characters. We also have The Mindful Bartender with Gary Regan, Aisha Sharp, and Dushan Zarek. Three, you know, if you know folks in the cocktail world, you know those three folks. The History of Distilling in New York City with Alan Katz and Tom Potter.
Oh, that's a good one.
These are all just...
Are these still on sale?
Yeah, we still have tickets for some of these.
And what's the website?
The website is www.manhattancocktailclassic.com.
People, just pause the podcast and go get tickets right now. These are not going to last through the week.
And I should mention that all the tickets are $50 a pop, with the exception of the gala, which is $150. But otherwise, it's $50. It's, you know, a lot of cocktails, often a lot of food, education.
Oh, that's right. Oh, because you get drinks and food at these seminars.
Yeah,
right?
Everything's included.
People, Mother's Day happened last week, so if you or yesterday, if you blew it, and your mom likes to have a nip, buy her some drinks and some tickets.
Yeah.
What are you drinking right now? What are you drinking to get ready for the weekend?
Water and a lot of coffee.
Yeah? What's your week like leading up to events like this? Nonstop? Do you get any sleep?
You know, I do what I can. The sleep is really tortured with lots of crazy nightmares. But it's all going to be really, really great. You know, I have an amazing team of people who are working on this.
And yeah, they're great. And for the ladies... What are you wearing to the gala on Friday?
I'm wearing a black floor-length evening gown with really inappropriately high slits.
Awesome. Well, that sounds awesome. And everyone's going to look great. And although I was looking forward to dancing to that band, I'm sure whatever band you do have will be great.
Bands, plural. I mean, it's four floors. There's so many bands, I can't even keep track of them all.
I'm going to crowd surf down that big banister.
Yeah.
Leslie, always a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And people, if you haven't gone, get in now. Get on the ground floor because it's only going to get bigger and better. Are you going to do it again next year?
I think I'm contractually obligated to at this point.
So then we'll see you in a year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, this has been Manhattan Cocktail Classic preview lead up to the amazing weekend. The website is Manhattan Cocktail Classic. No spaces, no nothing, just as it sounds. And it's great. Honestly, if you want a great time Friday night, the gala is one of the best things. As a man who's been to many events in his life, it's one of my favorite things. I look forward to every year. Leslie, thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with Mitchell Davis from James Beard. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. This next track goes out to DJ Angie Billions. It's Austria, Lose It. That was just Austra Lose It. One of my new favorite bands. Looking forward to seeing them play at the Mercury Lounge later this month. So for all those who are unaware of what's going on in the city right now, and they're seeing chefs from far and abroad running around the cities, because it is the James Beard Foundation celebration of the best in food and media and restaurants, however. And we are lucky to be joined by the VP of the foundation, Mitchell Davis. Mitchell, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hi, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Cook MacArthur, journalist, PhD in food studies. Mitchell, you seem to know a lot about food. What makes this weekend one of the most special weekends in all of food across the world?
Wow. I guess I'd have to say it's the fact that so many people are in town from all over the country, from all parts of the world, really. And it's just, you can't swing a cat on a street without hitting some chef or cookbook author or restaurant designer or something. And it's a great atmosphere in town. Every restaurant right now, if you were to walk in of any note, has some chef somewhere from somewhere enjoying a meal, getting ready for tonight's festivities.
Oh, my God. I mean, it is... if you follow any chefs on Twitter, they're all in New York. They're all eating like the Dutch Teresa. You cannot get a seat. Yeah, and if you do get a seat, you'll be rubbing elbows with like Ming Tsai and Tom Colicchio and Bobby Flay and all the greats.
So it's just a great moment for people to really be together. I mean, the awards are the awards, of course, and everyone's really excited about who's been nominated and who's going to win. But really, to have 2,000 people together from your industry, it may be the only time every year that you get to see everyone in one place. So it's really fun.
Now, before we get to the awards and this year's theme, can you talk a little bit about the man behind this all, James Beard? I know he's, a legendary figure for people in the food world, but people sometimes don't understand that he is the male equivalent to Julia Child. And if you could talk a little bit, James' legacy and what the foundation does to keep his legacy alive.
Sure. Well, not to contradict you, but he actually introduced Julia Child to the world. He was here before
yes,
there was
did.
Anything, Beard, he was called in 1957 already the Dean of American Cookery by the New York Times. And by that time, he had started writing about food in 1939. He wrote his first book and had a small catering company that catered parties on the Upper East Side. And he just, now we take for granted that everyone we know has a food blog or writes about food for some independent magazine or something somewhere, but he forged the whole idea of a career in food that was not a chef or not, not a writer for a lifestyle magazine per se, but actually someone who was really serious and passionate and incredibly knowledgeable about food. And he did it first. He was the first on television in 1945 when TV mm-hmm. was just a year old. He had a spot on the most popular matinee show and then had his own show in 1946. And I mean, he really was a pioneer in all of these different media that we take for granted today, after writing 24 cookbooks and thousands of articles and thousands and thousands of recipes. He really taught a whole generation how to appreciate food and how to cook.
Yes, and I think in United States of Arugula, David Camp's book does a great job if you really want some more of the details about James's life. It really is paints a fantastic.
I totally agree. He puts him in a great context. I mean, it's a great book overall. I started to read it reluctantly and learned so much. I was so happy to have gone through it. But before there was anyone, as Julia Child said, there was James Beard.
So the theme tonight, as we said, is the ultimate melting pot. I think American culture and food and like that is really an exciting time right now. I think everything's in play. I think flavors and mm-hmm. techniques and aesthetics and ingredients are all up for grabs. And can you talk about how that's being celebrated at the awards tonight?
Sure. Well, so each year, obviously, the awards are the awards, and the categories are predetermined, and they're pretty much the same from year to year. But the theme for the reception afterwards, where we invite, upwards of 30 chefs to come cook for this entire collection of the food world, changes every year. And this year's theme is the ultimate melting pot, as you said. And one of the things in doing research for the theme, and partly it was out of interest because so the influences of food in America come from so many different places, and we sort of reached a point where I think they've infiltrated not just ethnic restaurants, which are certainly pervasive, also all types of restaurants. You see ingredients that were once more exotic. Anyway, so the idea was to celebrate that aspect. And in doing the research, just in Beard's own work, we were kind of taken aback by how early he was celebrating these different influences. In fact, in the introduction to one of his biggest, most popular books, American Cookery, from 1972, he writes about how food in America is really the sum of the people who came here from all different places and put it together in this big melting pot. So that's the inspiration, and we looked, I mean, if you look, we could have had 1,000 chefs cooking, that would have been really interesting and fit in really well. We just wanted to be geographically diverse and pick people from the whole country, and also to add some people who were cooking and working in more quote-unquote ethnic restaurants, or but then others who were influenced by travels or all sorts of things. So if you look at the list of chefs, it's a total mix. There are some people born in America who have Thai restaurants, and there are some people born in Thailand who are cooking in Mexican restaurants, and all that, everything in between.
It's great. I mean, I think that really speaks to the integration and diversity of food, and it's great to see that they'll be celebrated this year. And looking over the awards, it is also a great mix. There's, you know, you can't pinpoint any one genre that's being celebrated over another. You know, from, you know, Noma to Michael Chiarello to, you know, to the Frankies. I mean, you guys really did a great job of culling the best of the best. But who is, you know, is everybody's, I guess, taking bets? Who do you think are the top favorites? Can you say some of your top favorites? Who you think might pull out tonight?
Oh, and win? Gosh, I gave up joining our office pool long ago because I actually get out a lot and do a lot of traveling. Now, I should point out that we don't actually pick the nominees or the winners. We administer the process that leads to nominees in each category. So the staff and anyone with a close affiliation to the organization is not involved. It's really done by a panel of 600 judges. So when the results come in and it's a national call for entry, and then the country is divided into 10 regions and judges vote regionally, and then there are awards for national people. So it's a whole mix, and that accounts, I think, for that diversity you've seen both in places, geographic diversity, and also culinary, gastronomic diversity. But years ago, I gave up trying to even enter that pool because, you know, to pick a winner, like, it's hard to say. It's a little bit like, you know, you vote for your favorite movies when you watch the Oscars, and then none of them wins because there are other forces at play. And it's here too, I'm really happy to see, though, some places that you might not expect on a nominee list from an organization like ours. For instance, in Las Vegas, we've got Lotus of Siam, which is a wonderful, wonderful Thai restaurant. They've been nominated before, but it, compared to Per Se or some of the other, you know, 11 Madison Park, which is on the list, it's almost a dive. It's a wonderful, wonderful restaurant with a great chef, but really interesting to see it there. Teresi Italian Specialties, maybe 10 tables here in New York City.
I love that place.
Downtown, talk about a sort of dead on the theme of melting pot. They use Jewish and Chinese and Italian influences in their cooking. Also, you know, a little sandwich place by day and a little restaurant by night with a $50 prefix. So I'm just really excited that the nominees this year reflect the kind of enthusiasm and diversity at all levels of the food world out in the country, as you pointed out.
Well, it's great. Well, Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to the gala tonight, to the event, and celebrating and toasting. Is there anything you want to add? Anything you want to say to the people?
Well, I want to say, for the first time this year, we're going to actually be live streaming the awards, and
you
can watch them. It will be the camera on the stage and all the videos and interesting things going on at Lincoln Center at jamesbeard.org/awards-live. And there'll be live. We have guest bloggers, and we'll be tweeting. So it'll be a lot of fun if you go to jamesbeard.org/awards-live. You'll see everything that everyone there is going to see, and then a little bit more because the commentary can be great sometimes.
Yes, and beyond the awards, if people want to get involved or learn more about James and James Beard and his foundation, where should they go?
Jamesbeard.org is our website, and everything we do there, whether it's at the Beard House or around the country, it's all sort of gathered for you in one place, really easy to see. And you can sign up for some of our free online publications or become a member.
Awesome. Mitchell, thank you so much. It is too short, but I know that you are busy today, so thank you for your time. We'll have you back on when there's more room to breathe, and we can bring you in for some pizza and some chicken wings.
Of course, my pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you so much. James Beard Award tonight. It's going to be a good time. It's the who's who of chefs. We got one more song, then we got Proper Villains coming up for a little interview and a nice set. It's a beautiful day. So good to be back on Snacky Tunes and eating this delicious pizza. We got a little track from Matt and Kim. It's Block After Block on Snacky Tunes, HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Watch out for a late phone call.
Matt and Kim. People, Punches is going to remix that track. So that's a little teaser of what we're working on right now. And for all those who care about Punches, we got our new EP coming out in July. It's fantastic. Anyway, enough about us. On to the main musical guest, Proper Villains.
Oi.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm very caffeinated right now.
You look like you went to the gym this morning.
I've been on the road for a couple weeks. I came home and I was like, the first thing I do, I got to blast my pecs.
Oh, yeah?
Pecs are blasted. Just
pecs are black.
Yeah.
What do? You do reps?
Hmm?
You rep?
Oh, no. I do.
You bench?
Like three by eights. I can do like, I can do a good 205.
I've no. I play squash. I have no discipline for just going to the gym.
Oh, really?
I'm like, was that? How long is that? An hour? That's 5 minutes on the bike.
I like it because it's objective, you know. Like, you can play someone a song and like have people be like, "Oh, that's the greatest thing ever," and someone will just be like, "Oh, that sucks." But you go to the gym and you know you put up 205 and it's 205.
What do you? Is that what you bench?
Yeah, I like. So I do less bench now. The pecs have actually kind of taken over. I'm doing more shoulders this week.
Awesome.
So just, you know.
You know, you should put together some YouTube workout videos. Just make some tracks.
I'm getting on that. I'm launching my new site. I'm going to do cooking tips and like workout tips and stuff.
That's awesome. What's the website going to be?
Propervillains.net. I mean, I got a little one pager on there. It's got my where I'm playing and a couple of songs and stuff. But I'm going to do like the full. I got to do during the WordPress mod. And it's going to have all the cool stuff.
Website, man.
Yeah. The internet, the tubes, man. You got to rock the tubes.
Got to work. Yeah.
It's 2011, man.
The tubes. Yeah, I never get that rep. Where does that tubes internet?
It's from some old congressman who was explaining how the internet works, and he's like, "Well, son, it's like a series of tubes." You gotta YouTube that, man. This is classic YouTube
Here. I mean, I read the inner tubes are leaking all the time.
Yeah,
but I never.
Ted Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
That's the voice of Jack, our wonderful producer.
Do you have a soundboard? Can you just do like weird like boing and like explosion noises and stuff? Yes!
There you go, Proper Villains.
This is great. This is like my Howard Stern fantasy come true.
That's where the effects box went. Anyway, so you have been out on the road.
I have been.
Where have you been playing? How the shows?
I did Phoenix, which was always... Phoenix is weird. It's just LA, but not...
Best carne asada I've ever had.
Phoenix. It is.
Best American taco, I think is what it's called. It's like right near the airport.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I went to a couple... I forgot the name of the place, but they took me to a really good Mexican place. And then after the week after that, I did Hawaii, and that was great because they threw in 3 days in Hawaii. They're like, "Oh, hey, you want to stay for 3 days?" I'm like, yeah.
And they put you up and everything?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, me, DJ Echo, and Luscious from VH1, is Echo's girlfriend, went, like, snorkeling.
Who's Luscious?
Luscious from Something About Ray J?
No.
Yeah.
Nope. Don't know.
I didn't know. I was just like, "I'm just like, your girlfriend's really hot." He's like, "Yeah, she's famous." I'm like, "Oh, cool.
Cool."
Yeah. And then I looked on Twitter. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, you have like 15,000 followers. You're famous."
Damn. You should get her to, did you get her to mention you?
I didn't.
Missed opportunity.
I know.
How was Hawaii? Do you surf?
I don't surf. I burn though. I managed. My accomplishment is I went out 2 days in the sun and I went from like translucent to pale, which is.
That's great.
Yeah. I might even be like. Less pale by the end of the summer.
What did you eat out in Hawaii?
Around the hotel. I had a Cobb salad because I'm on this. My New Year's resolution was to eat bacon every single day of 2011.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a bacon aficionado, so I'd have a Cobb salad 2 days in a row to get the bacon going. And then I went to the spam festival, but I couldn't work up the chutzpah to eat the spam. I was looking at. I was like, spam fries.
I've never had spam.
I think I had a can at one point in my apartment as a joke, and I opened it one night at 4 o'clock in the morning, just ravenous, and just took one bite and was like, "No, hell's no,
no,
no."
All right, so how about this? Let's get you on the decks, then we'll have you come back and we'll talk to you about the tracks you got out, the tracks you got coming up, things like that, and tour.
Sounds good.
But yeah, let's get you on. What, like 15 minutes? You want to do a set?
Yeah, I'll do a little 15 minute,
little
warm ups.
All right, so Proper Villains is gonna get on the decks. I'm gonna get out the weights, gonna do some reps. Nice. Like I said, it's good to be back in Snacky Tunes. Such a big shout out to DJ Never Forget. So excited that he's coming home this Thursday. And there's just so many good things happening. And we have our first barbecue of the season, May 18th, at Good Company. We're doing it with New York Magazine, Reka Vodka, Wiley Publishing, Gilt. The VIP tickets are sold out, but we have talked to Jesse, and we are releasing 100 more tickets at the door. Only $10 gets you a plate of food and a cocktail. It's 7 o'clock next Wednesday, May 18th, and we are super excited. We have some big things coming up this summer, some more events, some more music, some more TV shows, some more radio shows. Summertime in New York, there's no better time. How are we looking? We good?
Oh, we're good. Ready.
All right, here we go. Proper Villains, Snacky Tunes, take it away.
Streak.
Proper Villains, Snacky Tune.
You know?
There it is.
Wake you up on a Monday.
I really loved that. Who's that original track? Perfect Century Boy was Big
Pennywise?
No. It was Bad Religion.
Bad Religion.
God, I remember that video was that kid sitting in front of the static TV.
You know, it's weird. I've been revisiting all this punk stuff. I don't actually own any of the CDs. It was one of those ones where, like, everyone else I knew was a skateboarder, so they had all the CDs in their car.
Oh, yeah.
So I just heard it so much I never bothered to go out and buy the CD.
Look, if you do a bass remix of Face to Face or Less Than Jake, just let me know.
We can make this happen.
We
could definitely make this happen.
So what were some of the tracks in there?
There was Bass Down Low, which is out now on iTunes. Please, go buy that.
Track's doing pretty well, man.
Yeah, Hype Machine number one. The weird thing has been the people hitting me up for soundtracks. I don't know if it ever actually happened. I kind of forwarded them to Universal, but I think it was Burton Snowboard. It was some bike company. I forgot the name. I don't actually ride a bike. I live in Manhattan. That I'm allergic to buses, so I don't really ride bikes.
Yeah.
But it's been crazy.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And then they just signed me up to do two more. So on the outro, I'll play the next one I'm doing is Top of the World, the Cataracts featuring Dev. And awesome. Then dancing.
I just heard about Deb for the first time yesterday.
Yeah, she's really cute.
Is she?
I still haven't met her, but she's but she looks good in photographs. So
don't they all?
Yeah.
So, if I want to get based out, where do I go to see you live?
Where do I go? Oh my God. Okay, so I'm actually off this week. I'm really happy about that. But let's see. Next week it's going to be Friday. It's at Club Rebel with Terra Vita and Hot Pink DeLorean. Saturday.
Where is that? In what city?
Rebel. It's here in Manhattan. I'm doing two local shows. So it's Rebel over right by Penn Station. So it's...
Yeah, that's why I've never...
Yeah, exactly. The West... Yeah, I know. For all you people out there, us Brooklynites, the West Side of Manhattan is There Be Dragons. But I'm playing there, and it should be good. And then if you want to come to Brooklyn, I'm playing The Lab the following day with Adam F. and Designer Drugs, which should be an amazing show.
Where's The Lab?
The Lab... check my website, propervillains.net. I've got to go MapQuest it myself.
Which part of Brooklyn?
I think it's, I don't even know. It's off the L train. I know that much.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. It's centrally located for all you Brooklynites. And then the week after that, I'm doing Boston, and then I start my West Coast tour, which is going to be San Diego, LA, two dates in LA, then Sacramento and San Francisco.
Damn.
Yeah.
Get some burritos for me in San Fran.
I will. I've got to go get my airline miles sorted out. That's going to, yeah.
Yeah. You should be making flights on these flights.
Yeah, I should be. I got to get bumped up, man. I walk past those first class flights and I'm like, God damn, you couldn't like lie down.
Yeah. It's a game changer.
It is.
All right, man. Appreciate it so much for coming. What are you playing? And you're going to play us out on the upcoming...
Top of the World. This is an exclusive. This is the first time playing it out. I just got it back from mastering, so you all are the first.
Snacky Tunes exclusive.
Exclusive, exclusive. Boo-boo-boo-boo.
Anyway, I want to thank my guest, Lindsay Towson of Manhattan Cocktail Classic. Go get tickets, ManhattanCocktailClassic.com. Mitchell Davis, James Beard Awards Gala tonight, jamesbeard.org. And Snacky Tunes, it's so good to be back. Everybody get ready. DJ Never Forget is coming home on Thursday. You have been warned, city in Brooklyn. Thank you so much. We will see you next week with Jesse Schenker of Reset. Take it away.
Sound like a hit to me. Now check it out. I'll take this beat now. got it. You got it going on. I'm just playing, man, this bottle got me saying things. I don't ever wanna lose you right now. You got it going on.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. And now here's some behind-the-scenes food news with Katie Kiefer.
Guess what? Food prices will likely continue to rise given the fact that corn planting is lagging way behind last year. According to Drover's Cattle Network, planting is down 53%, which will undoubtedly put more of a squeeze on livestock farmers, especially pork and chicken farmers, because after all, they're the ones who use more corn than anybody else in terms of livestock production. Here's a quote from the Drover's Cattle Network. 13% of the corn in the top 18 producing states has been planted, according to the USDA's Crop Progress Report, which was released on May 2nd. Although it is a 4% improvement from last week, nationally, the 2011 corn planting is 27% behind the five-year average and 53% behind 2010's progress, and this is no doubt likely to bad weather, drought conditions in various places, and more rain in others. Who knows? But whatever it is, look to see your grocery bills rising over the next few months. This is Katie Kiefer for Behind the Scenes Food News.